Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, we read of Peter and John that it was when they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They had been with Jesus, as we referred this morning to this scripture. So I'd like to speak this evening on some of the ways that we may be with Jesus and that it may benefit us. These were unlearned and ignorant men, and yet they had great boldness. And we know they had more than boldness. They had salvation. They had the Lord Jesus Christ. They'd been with him, and so they had been transformed. We read that they said further on in verse 20, "We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard, the things of the Lord Jesus Christ are so wonderful, so marvelous, so true, so glorious, that they cannot but help speak of him, because the thing that was said of them, they had been with Jesus." Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest person you could ever want to be with, the most important person to know about. As we were saying this morning, he's the Saviour, the righteous Saviour who saves sinners. And what the church needs today, just like Peter and John, is people who have been with Jesus. And this is a challenge to us as Christians, to ask ourselves, have you been with Jesus? You may think that sounds like a strange question. How can I be with someone who is in heaven? Well, let us consider that there is, through the Holy Spirit, who the Lord Jesus Christ promised, and through faith in Christ, we are indeed with him, though we're not with him. So we understand these things by the Holy Spirit of God, that the people of God are drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ, as he is the one who was raised up, is to draw all men up to himself, as he said. And I'll just give you some scriptures. I want to consider the various ways that we are with Jesus in prayer, in hearing his word, in when we meet together, when we hear preaching, when we have the sacraments, when we read about him and the history of other Christians, and when we follow him in our lives, whether we go out heroically or suffering or helping others or preaching or in our ordinary works. All these different ways we are with the Lord Jesus. And so I want to consider these things, and then you can hopefully be able to examine yourselves and to discover whether we have been really with Jesus. Does this reflect our Christian lives in the way that it should do? We'll be given great help from heaven. So we'll consider these things now fairly briefly. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. You must be familiar with me quoting this verse. The Apostle Paul says, "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." So he'd been with the Lord Jesus Christ in such a way that he can say that Christ is living in me. Well, that is the closest form, isn't it, of all of being with the Lord Jesus Christ. That he's living in the person. And he says in John chapter 14, he promises such things. It's first of all, when we first come to Jesus Christ, as we said this morning, you come to him in faith to believe the gospel, whether you've seen him as Paul had and as the disciples had, but for us who haven't seen him, yet we have come just as close through faith, because he sends his Holy Spirit to dwell with us. So Jesus says, "If any man love me and he keep my words," John 14:23, "and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. And then in chapter 15 and verse 26, it explains this is when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me. So it's the Holy Spirit comes and he speaks all of Jesus Christ, convincing us of our sin and causing us to trust in Jesus who died for sinners and rose again. And he, the third person of the Trinity, comes just like the Lord Jesus Christ, but dwelling with all his people, the Holy Spirit. And so we have Jesus, in fact, in a way, people use the expression, I've got Jesus in my heart. Well, we have the Holy Spirit in us, and he is the Spirit of Christ. So these expressions that sound a bit sentimental in a way, they do have a theological basis. We must be careful that we take them in the right way, of course. So, indeed, Jesus Christ is very close then to all his people, and we come to him in repentance and faith, and we can say we've been with him. We approach him, we come to him, and so we are to be greatly helped. These points here, I trust, will be very helpful to us to examine ourselves. And some people, the last thing they want to be is to be with Jesus Christ. They see it frightens them. They think, oh, he's gonna see my sins, you see. Well, we talked about that this morning. When we come to him as the Saviour, through faith, he washes away our sins by his blood that was shed on the cross, and he counts us righteous. So we have a great confidence. Again, we spoke about this morning, and then a desire to tell other people that we've been with him. Just as you can't see him, don't be fooled that he's not with you. If you're a Christian, Christ is very much with us by his Spirit, and we must not be afraid of what man can do. He said he'd never leave us and never forsake us. But it's more often the case that Christians don't walk according to this great grace. We go our own ways so much, and we don't live up to the privileges that we have in Christ. And so we're very ineffective as Christians in our lives. We're very weak, and we need his strength. Now, we find this strength in various ways. When we pray, it's not easy to pray. When we pray, the important thing, whenever we may be praying for something, we may be particularly wanting to pray that we feel better or that someone else feels better. But the vital thing in prayer is that we come in Jesus Christ, the Saviour of sinners, that we come unworthily as we are, but trusting in Jesus Christ. And when our prayers are in Christ, Christian, true Christian prayers, we recognize in that our great unworthiness, but we're reminded of the all-sufficiency of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are expressing our faith in him, that we really can approach God in Jesus Christ. And I believe that as we do that in prayer, we're close to him, we're honouring him, we're glorying him, and by his Spirit is speaking in us, to us, the things of Jesus Christ. This is the work of the Spirit. We cannot say great things of Jesus Christ except by his Spirit. So in our prayers, if we'll pray and we'll remember that we're coming only through the blood of Christ shed for us, so we are able to approach God, that the sins that were separated us from God are washed away by the blood of Christ, and so by faith in him we can come to God. Then we're glorifying Jesus Christ, and we're with him, and that part of our prayer will do for us the greatest part. And we will know that we've been with Christ. It's the most important thing in prayer is to seek the Lord Jesus Christ. You know things about him, you know what he's done, and it's in these things that we approach God and we draw near to him. He draws near to us, the Father, we're brought to the Father by the Spirit through the Son. And in Christ we've seen the Father, and our life is restored and renewed day by day. That's the aim of our prayers, whether we're praying the Lord's Prayer or whatever prayer we pray. It's through Jesus Christ. And then as we carry on our day, as it were, we say, well, we've been with Christ already, just through prayer. And then, these are just simple points, really, to say that these things should become apparent. We haven't got the powers of the early disciples, the early apostles, with their miraculous gifts, but people should still be able to say that these people have been with Christ. We've been with Christ then in his word. He's promised that none of his words will be lost. The earth, heavens and earth will pass away, but none of my words will pass away. And he promised by the Holy Spirit that the disciples would have his words. So we have in the scriptures the words of Jesus Christ. In a sense, the whole Bible is the word of Jesus Christ. It's the word of God. Jesus Christ is God. If you've seen me, if you've seen him, well, you've seen the Father, you've seen all of God in Jesus Christ. And so all the words of Scripture point us. They all speak of him. People search the Scriptures and they don't know what they're looking for. But when they know it's all pointing to Jesus Christ, then we have treasures right through the Old Testament, right through to the end, all the wonderful things of Jesus Christ. And you can never tire of it. If you read the Bible in a dry academic way, maybe you get tired of it. But if you read the Bible, and as you read it, you think, here's me, a sinner. And you see, here's salvation. Here's Jesus Christ. You'll see it in him. But all these things are in him. And as you spend time in his word, you pray first, Lord, help me to draw near to you in thy word. And you will be able to afterwards, you'll be able to think as you're reading the scriptures, what does this say to me? What is there here to understand? What is there to learn? What is there to do? What do I need to repent of? How do I glory in God? And as you go away, as you pray again and you leave the scriptures, as you close your Bible, you've been with Jesus Christ. You've been listening to his word. What a great thing that is to do. Beginning of the day, at different times during the day, the end of the day, to be with Jesus Christ. As you hear his word. Do we do these things as we should? And for people, you will know people that love the Bible. They are really people who've been with Jesus. And to be with him, what a marvelous help that is to each one there. Now some people say, well, I struggle to read. Struggle to pray. We can just read a few verses. We may read the same piece over and again and we can't manage with a lot of things. Keep going. Pray to God and you will remember the important truths of the Lord Jesus Christ as you read. But God has provided further helps for us that we may say that we've been with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he provides us with opportunities to meet together. Like we do, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. What a promise. Do you ever, we don't perhaps physically feel the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ with us when we're together? But do we believe him? He says these things. He says where we're gathered in his name, there he is. This is something very important for Christians, that we gather together with the people of God, particularly on the Lord's Day, which is the appointed day for public worship. This is, we're talking to private worship or something. We come to now to public worship, particularly the Lord's Day, where we come, that lovely introduction in the prayer book, isn't it? We confess our sins, don't we, before we come together to hear His word and to sing His praise and to pray for our needs. These things we come to do as we gather together, and He promises to be with us and to bless such things. The world thinks it's foolish, a few people meeting together, but when the Lord Jesus Christ has promised to be present, and we can go away after Sundays and say we've been with the Lord today, in a special way, not, as I said, we've already said, we're always with the Lord in a sense. And often people say that, don't they? They say, I don't need to go to church. They say, I can pray anywhere. Yes, you can. But do you know there's a special blessing when you meet together with the Lord's people? That's extra. Don't miss out on the private prayer when you're, people love it when they're in the countryside. They're inspired to pray when they see God's creation. Well, that's good. But that doesn't mean that we don't need to assemble together. The Bible speaks strongly of those who forsake the gathering together. Now, there's other times when we meet together. We were blessed yesterday to meet at a conference. And such occasions, we must be careful that there's not, a wrong kind of fellowship with others who are not really Christians, but they're getting away with it by associating with Christians. They then claim that they're, as it were, on the right track, but they're far off. But a good Christian conference where the teaching is good and it's in accordance with the Reformed faith, so maybe one or two different churches, maybe one church organizes it, and if it's done well and it doesn't involve compromises with ecumenical speakers and the various things or any strange goings on, then it's a good gathering together of the people of God. And it encourages us again that when we meet together, the Lord Jesus is very much with us. Sometimes Christians feel shy of attending conferences and other meetings. They think that they're unworthy. They think that they're not up to the standard of other Christians, but it'll help you. You see, these things are to help us when we are together, because the Lord Jesus Christ is promising, when His name is glorified and preached, to be with us. It's a marvelous help. If people find a good church, and then they grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then likewise at prayer meetings or other midweek Bible study meetings, it's a great help to us to gather together, because the Lord Jesus is there with us. We may have things, you say, well, we don't do this very well, or this isn't quite how I'd like it, or one thing about a church, people say, no, I don't agree with this or that, and people think they know what everyone should be agreeing with them. But the fact is that when the people of God meet together, despite our sins, despite our faults, despite our weaknesses, or even a few errors, which we would try not to have errors and faults and sins, of course, but the Lord Jesus honours these gatherings together, and He's with us, and He changes us, and pushes us along, or leads us along, in our Christian walk. So we're to be gatherers together in the midst. That's our third or fourth point. And then, well, part of this, what is the important part of gathering together? One of the things, and people don't like it always, is preaching. They say, well, no, we don't want too much preaching. What we want is we want to have all of the liturgy. Well, good. We're glad to have the liturgy of the church. It's very important to have things set out in a good form, good forms of prayer to help us, and good scripture reading. Very important to have the scriptures read. The public reading of scripture. We would not downplay in any way. We'd like to have good length of scripture reading. It's not the church where they have the three verses just read before the sermon and that's it. No, we'll have following on from the Old Testament days. They read from the prophets and the Psalms and the from the Law. I'm saying them in the wrong order there. We read from the Old Testament and from the New and from the Psalms. So we cover lots of scripture over the course of a year. And we must have the sacraments. But the sacraments of baptism and of the Lord's Supper are not to take over from preaching, as they do in some churches. Every church, every service is a what they call a Eucharist or a Mass, or we don't have the Mass at all. We wouldn't agree with that name to be used, but a communion service of all the Lord's Supper. Almost every service in some churches, that is what they think is worship. Now, it's given to us. It is given to us. The communion is given, and God, it does emphasize the Lord Jesus Christ's pledges to us of his love to his people in his blood and body that was once and for all offered. And that is true. But isn't that the essence of preaching? And don't we in preaching explain the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, the purpose of his coming and of faith in him, the things of which the sacraments are a sign, a good sign given by the Lord Jesus Christ. But the what we call the primacy of preaching is very important. And when Jesus Christ is spoken about, indeed, that the communion and baptism is understood, drawing to Christ, turning to him, faith in him, his finished work, baptism, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, God coming down upon people and bringing them to himself, joining them, adopting them into his family, precious truths. But the signs on their own, without preaching, are of no value when there's no understanding. And these things become idols, as they have in some places. But when we hear preaching, even I must say, if it's not the greatest eloquent preaching, if it's preaching Christ, then we draw near to him. And that's the thing. When you listen to a sermon, listen out for good things about the Lord Jesus Christ. They will warm your heart. They will humble you. And they will cause you to be praising his name, the things that we are to do, so that we can be said of us, as was said of Peter and John. They had been with Jesus. That is the purpose of these things that God has given us. He's given us prayer, studying of the scriptures, gathering together, and especially in gathering together, the preaching of his word. As it says in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Then he explains something very important about preaching. Before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. And one of my favorite or most verses that's helped me very, very much understand that the thing that the Galatians, when they were on the right track, it was when they'd heard Jesus Christ set forth, preached, crucified among them. The cross of Christ had been preached. They knew what they needed. They needed to believe in the crucified Savior. That's when they were right. When they didn't, when other things came in the way, all these rituals and things that people were trying to introduce to them, Jewish things, then they were bewitched. But when we draw near to Jesus Christ, in Christ being preached, then we are with him, and he is with us. And we trust that when we leave, we'll be thinking of him, how wonderful the Lord Jesus Christ is to his people. We've heard him preached about. that he died for sinners, and we trust him. We say, Lord, thank you for saving me. And we glory in Jesus Christ. And as we go away to the next week, we think, well, it's a hard week. Then we can say that Jesus Christ is my Savior. I remember hearing again and again and again and again. I remember hearing again in the preaching that Jesus died for me to save me. And now I go through this week and it seems very odd and strange from day to day, but I know my Savior's for me. So I've been listening to that preaching again of Jesus Christ. And so people say, wait, what's going on? We would like them to say that, wouldn't we? They say, who are these people? They're people who've been with Jesus Christ. This maybe should have come in earlier, but I haven't put these points in a particular order, perhaps. One of the other great ways of drawing near to the Lord Jesus Christ, sometimes we're in different states, as it were. Now, this is always apply. Always meet together with the people of God. Always pray, and especially pray in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, understanding his person and his work. And always come to this repentance and faith in him. That's being with him. And study the Bible. But something else that's very helpful is to just sit and think quietly. We can think about these things quietly, but that's prayer. It brings us right to prayer. But the other thing is to read books. A good book of some of the interesting parts of stories of people's lives. There have been many Christians who've gone before us. And you can read about them. We've got some books here, I think, and we could find others that people may want to read. And you can read about someone's life and how they came to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know the nice thing? You think, someone else. That's happened to me too. That part of it has happened to me. If I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, look, you can read what happened to these people in their lives. And we're not all to copy them. We're not to copy each other. But we can be encouraged where we can see over the course of history that Jesus Christ has been working closely in other people's lives. We know of each other. We're friends when we talk to each other. We can talk, as what I haven't actually made in our conversation, about how God has helped us in one way or another. Then we glorify God in Jesus Christ and we're with him again in that way. So there's lots of things. The work of God in people's lives brings us to be with Jesus Christ himself, because we're giving him the glory for working his work of salvation and then leading through people, through keeping them, through all sorts of things. It's wonderful to read about such things. It's primarily in the scriptures. And it's the word of God in the scriptures. But the application of the work of the Spirit into the lives of many over the years, it's lovely to read about. The missionaries. Missionary biographies. Wonderful to hear. They went out against all odds. Do you know the strange thing? They were no greater people. They may have been good at translating words. But when it came to preaching, what did they really have? They had the Bible, the same as us. They spoke of Jesus Christ, the same as we do. But sometimes God particularly blesses these things. Even today, people go from one country to the other. One country they go to. Lots of people came to hear about Jesus. It didn't in England, but they did when they went to India. And you know that it's the same work of God. And Jesus Christ is close to his people, and he's just as close to us in the day of small things as he is in days of revival. Now people find it hard to accept that. We want a revival of great things happening in our land, and hundreds of people coming to church and thousands of people coming to church, but more than coming to church, coming to Jesus Christ. And we'd be very much rejoicing in all that. But one by one and individually, the important question is, have you been with Jesus Christ? Can people say, he's been with Jesus Christ. That's what's been happening around here. They may not want to know in a way, It may take it in over years and years. They may be looking at you your whole life. You may have brothers and sisters you've known for 50 years, 70 years, 80 years. And if it's looking at you, and they can't quite work it out. And we must stay close to Jesus Christ. You know, He keeps us. We're thankful for that, aren't we? That we're not giving you a list of works that you can go off and do. It's God working in us. But these are ways that we are to be helped. We're helped in being with Him when we obey Him. Some Christians don't like talking in these terms. When we obey Him, reading particularly, well, I'll give several examples. When we suffer with Him, if we obey Him and keep His word, we'll be spoken against. And it says in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew, chapter 5. Blessed are they, verse 10, which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The promises, when a Christian is persecuted and suffers, the promises are theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They are close to Jesus Christ in their suffering, in their being persecuted. We may suffer in various ways, but it's through this that we enter the kingdom of God. There's great blessing here that is promised when people speak falsely against you for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Now when these things happen, and you believe these words, how close are you to Jesus Christ? Some of the martyrs and those who've been persecuted even today, they would not swap their position because of the closeness to God in Jesus Christ that they've known in their sufferings. We don't want to suffer. Of course we don't want to suffer. But as we do in various ways, as we're believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, He draws close to His people. And it's a great witness to the world that they've been with Jesus. Have you been with Jesus Christ? So there are so many ways. You say, well, I'm not persecuted. Well, I say, well, pray. Study the scriptures. Speak of Christ to others. In the end of Matthew 28, there's that beautiful blessing which we know when we go forth with the word of God. If any of you, some of you take out literature, calendars we've given out, English churchmen's and other tracts, and give them to people, or say something to someone of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't. The devil's against you. But if you speak of the Lord Jesus Christ, He's with you in it. It says at the end of Matthew, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Always with us, but here the context is especially in going and speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether it's by giving out a piece of paper with something written on about Him, or speaking fully of Him ourselves in one way or another, obeying Him in these things, He's with us. And we get this sense that He's with us. And as we go on, people say that people have been with Jesus Christ. Now they want to deny it, we know that. They want to get away from it. They don't always say it, but it's so. It's seen that a person is a Christian because they've been with Jesus. The world will take us away with all sorts of temptations, all sorts of other interests and fascinating things, but spending time with Jesus in private, in public, and in outreach, these sorts of things are times when we draw close to Him, when He strengthens us, especially by His Spirit. Then, in ordinary day-to-day life, all that we do, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we're getting very little else now, we're to concluding with ordinary day-to-day things here, whatever therefore you do, 1 Corinthians 10, 31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now, easier said than done, perhaps, to do all for the glory of God. If that can be a principle, it should be one of our great guiding principles, then if we do this, we will be close to the Lord Jesus Christ. I won't try to expound that just at this point. But Ephesians chapter 6, for example, gives you one example of this. I'll give you another example of this. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5. Servants, this is everyone. If you think everyone is doing any work, whatever you're doing, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. What you do it as you're doing it for Christ. Do a small task, a small duty, do it as you're doing it for the Lord. Not with eye service, not as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord, and not to the fact you've got to do something for somebody, do it as if you're doing it for the Lord. And you see the blessings of this in Matthew 25. This is the last scripture reference I've got for you this evening. Matthew 25, verse 40. Well-known passage. You think, well, I'm not really doing very much. Of course, being with Jesus Christ, as I've not emphasized very much, it's nothing we can work up in ourselves. It isn't humanism. It isn't humanitarianism. It's through coming to Jesus Christ himself as the Savior. We would be utterly arrogant if we could just live and just say, well, I've done things pleasing to God. I've done this, I've done that. I've led a good life. God's going to say, I've never done anyone any harm. That isn't the case. We are all terrible sinners, and we come greatly to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to save us. That's the one way that we come joined to him, by turning to him in faith to save us from our sins, trusting in his work on the cross, trusting in his blood, his righteousness, trusting in him. And then, so that is how we're able to pray. People say, well, I pray and all this happens and that. We must come truly humbly praying in Jesus Christ for it to be true, truly a godly prayer. We were talking the other day whether people can pray. In a sense, God hears everything you say. But to really pray, it must be humbled in Jesus Christ. To hear his word, to meet together where he promises to be in the midst of us. He honors the preaching of his word and, indeed, yes, the sacraments also. He shows forth himself in the sacraments also with the primacy of the preaching of the word of God. He's given us opportunities together to think of other Christians, to be with other Christians, to hear their stories, to give the glory to God in Jesus Christ. And he sends us forth to live for him. And he promises to be with us in all that we do. And when we've done the very least, we say, oh, I'm an unprofitable servant. But in all these things, Jesus Christ is with us. And even as it is there in Matthew 25, verse 40, when they said, when did I do these things to thee? He says, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me. In our Christian service, in one way, as we serve others, especially the brethren in the full Christian sense of the word, then we are doing things for Christ. And we may not even think about it like that, perhaps, in that way. We may not be expecting to get any praise from God. But as far as we follow his commandments, loving the Lord our God with all our heart, seeking to walk humbly before him, to love our neighbours as ourselves, to be very humble and repentant before God, we are with Jesus Christ by his Holy Spirit. And it's all granted to us by his grace. All that we're given is from God. And so we give all back from thanks to serve Him, and we're to be humble before Him and to pray, to turn to His Word, to gather together, to worship Him, to follow Him, to speak about Him. Pray that the Lord will give us, make us able to speak to others about the Lord Jesus Christ. And in all of these things, He promises to be with us. And may it be that others are saying, they've been with Jesus Christ today. Amen.